Welcome to the Star Wars Collector Podcast, episode number 137. I am your host, Brian, and with me, as always, are my co-hosts, Carl and Dwayne. Hey, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hello. Welcome to the podcast.
And special guest, Craig Aussie. Hey, Craig.
Yeah.
Good day.
Welcome to the podcast.
Glad to be here.
All right. Well, we always start off with what you got. And, Craig, since you're our guest, we'll let you talk about stuff that you've gotten recently.
Oh, well, it's been a busy month. I had a trip to Disney World, so that led to picking up the Black Series Ewok for Valentine's Day that's pink with wings. Yeah, that's an atrocious little piece, but I'm glad I picked it up. Grabbed the new Build-A-Droid from Disney. I'm getting one every month, so that one, CU-28, should have been CW-28 for Carl Weathers.
Yep.
Vintage Collection Cantina, I picked it up. And I've put it side by side with the original cardboard cantina backdrop. Really a nice match.
Nice.
And then while I was at Disney, I went online on eBay and ordered a 3D printed Coke cart with an action figure droid like they have in Batuu and Black Spire Outpost.
Yeah.
Action figure scale. Because Disney hasn't put one out yet. I know they will eventually, but that's a lot of paperwork for them to do. So
I've been 3D printing mine. Scale.
Yeah.
I got several of them.
Yeah. And so that was the Coke cart. And I entered a raffle this last week and won the ability to order something. So I just ordered the new Retro Robot bootleg brass figure that is of a Death Star droid with a praying mantis head.
So very cool. Okay.
That's the guy who did all the Russian bootleg sculpts. And now there's a guy in Spain, and they're working together, and the guy in Spain paints them and distributes them worldwide.
Okay, that's nice.
Yeah.
How big is the Coke R2? Is it?
Oh, it's the full cart that the Coke is sold in. So it's at 3¾-inch scale.
Okay.
So it's got a droid that's just like the one that's on the cart there, life size, you know, but at a 3/4 scale. And then it's a little cart. It's probably about, you know, this big. Yeah, how does that help? You know, about 3 inches by 7 inches. And it has little 3D printed spherical Coke bottles, just like the thermal detonator ones they have there.
Okay. That's nice.
Yeah. If I would have been at the office. Oh, wait. It's here. How about that?
All right. Well, you brought it home with you.
I'm just not used to doing this, guys.
There you go.
Oh,
now we're seeing it on the screen here. So
that
it's
is
got the what's the droid called?
You know, I don't know the names of the droids that they have.
Okay.
On all the Disney pieces, but they actually did this one life size scale in a cardboard display for the recent Coke promotion, just like R2 they did.
It looks kind of like a R5 D4, just in different colors.
It's an R5, but I don't know the designation for what they've named this specific one.
Yeah, that one's got an all red head with a white body, and then red panels with red legs.
Yes.
For those that are listening to the podcast and aren't actually watching it,
it's a red bar.
Yeah. And then on the cart, you can put the ice tray in the top.
Oh, okay.
And that's load cool. it up with the little.
Oh, nice. Bottles. You can put the little bottles on top of it. Nice.
Yeah. So it's like they're sitting in the ice. And it's just I'm being curious. At Disney World.
How much did that cost?
Actually, I caught a sale and it was $50 for the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
Including the droid. That's normally, it's $50 for the cart and additional for the droid and the ice tray if you want them. I think it usually ends up around $80. But the guy was running a sale, so I couldn't pass it up.
Yeah, that looks really nice. You got the Coca-Cola on the side. Is that Arabish, or is it just, say, Coca-Cola?
It's
sort of
stylized. It's somewhere between.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I've just got into 3D printing stuff, so I've printed some big droids. I've printed lightsabers. I'm not sure this is not really like a, you know, somebody's lightsaber. It's just a plain old, like, somebody's concoction.
Yeah, somebody created it. That's cool. Yeah,
I like those. think they're pretty cool. So I've printed three of them so far, different ones.
Very good. If you're hearing the howling, that's my cat. I'm sorry.
It's just a bonus feature.
Carl likes horror movies. My cat could voice one.
There's several good cat horror movies, too.
All right, Carl, what'd you get?
I got a few things. Like everybody else, it seems, I got the Disney CU-28 builder droid that you actually ordered for all of us and had them shipped. And I finally got my coolest character from the Aculot in the mail, the Stranger. I'm slightly disappointed. I wish the helmet would have been, you could have just plopped it on his head, but it's one of those that you plop the head off and then put the helmet head on. So that was kind of a bummer, but it's still a cool figure. And I also got Padme and her Attack of the Clones gear.
Okay.
So just a small month for me, but a couple of things I wanted.
Yeah.
Very cool.
All right, Dwayne, what'd you get?
I got two things. Two whole things. And one of them is the same as everybody else. The Disney Builder Droid CU-28. And thanks to a tip from you guys last month on the podcast, I found the Epic Worlds of Action line Deluxe Captain Brutus on Amazon and picked that up. Cool. That should probably be the last piece, I guess, produced or released for that line that I didn't probably have.
Same change of the line again and the scale as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got one thing, and I got the droid, the same thing that everybody else got. Mm-hmm. And I don't. Yeah. And then the new one comes out this Friday.
Yes.
We got to pre-order quite a bit of stuff, but nothing came in.
Yep. All right. So next we have meeting news. So our Ashland Regional will be March the 14th at the Flatwoods Public Library from noon to 3. I unfortunately will not be there. My son is shooting at archery state tournament that day, so I'll be in Louisville. And then we got the Columbus Toy and Game Show, March the 22nd. That's a Sunday, right?
Sunday. Always on Sunday, yeah.
Great Ohio Toy Show in Xenia, Ohio is March the 28th. That's a Saturday. There's a ton of stuff there. Lexington Comic Con is March the 26th through the 29th. Are we having a booth?
Yes. We do have a booth, yes.
Okay.
You can sign up on the Casewalk page if you want to serve a little time working the booth.
Okay. And the swap meet will be in, is that right? It's a swap meet? So the fall festival's in Frankfurt.
Yeah, the fall festival's in Frankfurt. Yeah.
Okay, so the swap meet is April the 18th in Louisville. What is that? Tim Goebel's church usually?
Yeah, I think that's what we're doing. So Louisville adjacent. So
it's in Indiana, but just across the river.
Louisville metro area.
Yeah. We got the Mandalorian and Grogu movie coming out May the 22nd or 21st for the previews or whatever you want to call
previews.
It.
There are groups forming in both Lexington and Louisville, to my knowledge, that want to go watch the movie together. Yes. There's even swag being produced for those in attendance. We haven't really talked about doing anything in the Ashland area yet, but I don't know if we can pull something together or not.
Even if it's just getting together on the spur of the moment, when you order tickets, order for your buddies.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so then the auction will be here. Did we ever designate an actual date?
We're still floating back and forth between the 20th and 27th of June. So it's just an availability of a venue at this point.
All right, and then the fall festival will be September the 26th in Frankfurt at Craig. What's the church name?
That's going to be at the First United Methodist Church on Washington Street. It's just a block from the church where we've held it in the past. They've got a bigger space.
Oh, okay.
So Byron's going to host it at his church, and we'll still be within walking distance of the R2 room for anybody who wants to go down there and take a tour.
Okay.
Speaking of, Brian, you're coming to Louisville area in a couple weeks for archery. Mm-hmm. You're welcome to swing by Frankfurt. I'll give you the tour.
If we have time, we'll have to see.
Yeah, I understand.
Because he shoots at like 1:30.
Oh,
right in the middle of the day.
Yeah, I understand. The other thing that I have on my schedule for meetings coming up is April 30th to May 3rd is Rogue Fun 2 in Atlanta. And that's the Georgia Club is putting that together. So it's not just collector based, but for collectors, they're going to have a panel by Steve Sansweet and Duncan Jenkins, but they also have some original artists from making the movie there, the original movie. Roger Christian's going to be there. He's the set dresser who made it a lived-in universe. And Nick Maley, who's one of the guys who built props for the cantina and creatures. So those guys are going to be there doing panels.
Didn't Roger Christian create the lightsaber?
I think so.
Yeah. He talked about it at ICCCon when he was there last year.
And we're also going to have a private event at the Museum for Puppetry Arts. So
cool. We'll
go see puppets from Labyrinth and, you know, Dark Crystal, all those great things.
Yeah.
Nice. I keep thinking about going, but yeah, I got just too much stuff to do this year.
I understand.
I'm going to Florida for 2 weeks.
Well, oh darn.
Yeah, I know.
You'll have fun.
What's this new Facebook group?
So there's a group that's been started by some folks that I know in Louisville called Van Nuys 76. And it's based on the guys who did the original props and models in Van Nuys out in California. And so I've joined the group and they are recreating prop building spaces. So putting the tables together with the period appropriate lamps and tools and everything, trying to recreate from the photos what some of the model shop looked like.
Okay.
Cool.
And they're getting the t-shirts that those guys wore back in those photos and taking a deep dive into it. But these are some of the guys I know that regularly go to the WonderCon there in Louisville, and they build props themselves, life-size props. And so it's kind of their next salute to what they've seen and who they've met.
Okay.
Recreate some spaces. So
they're basically Civil War reenactors for industrial lights and magic.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. A Renaissance fair of another era.
Yeah.
All right, Dwayne, you want to talk about new collectible announcements?
Sure. Well, it sounds like my dog wants to chime in. Anyway, new collectible announcements. These are coming mostly from the Toy Fair, and I think there was one Hasbro event sometime in February, early in February. First of all, there's a new line. We kind of mentioned it earlier when we were talking about what we got. It's called Actionverse, and it's a 4.5-inch scale, kind of beefed up characters. Similar, we've made kind of poked fun at them. They sort of look like the first couple of waves of Power of the Force 2 back in 95. But they're for kids. It's a new kids line. They previewed some new Actionverse figures at the Toy Fair. And these are for the Mandalorian and Grogu movie. They're releasing basic figures of Zeb, the Mandalorian, and Grogu are part of the $9.99 assortment. We have already mentioned earlier there was a Darth Vader and a Stormtrooper. There's also going to be a guard droid with mercenary STAP, S-T-A-P, and an Anzellan starship in a $19.99 assortment. Those are two vehicles. The Anzellan starship comes with a couple, I think the picture I saw comes with a couple of Anzellans and Grogu with it. And it's small. It's small scale because, of course, Anzellans are small.
It comes life-size, doesn't it?
And they're going to have an Imperial AT-RT with a driver, and that's going to be $29.99. And it says look for these new releases in the store next month, which would be March at the time this was posted. So anytime this month, we should see some of these Mandalorian and Grogu toys coming out.
In stores, yeah, right.
In stores, yeah.
Not our store.
Yeah.
Well, you never know, because we don't generally look in the kids' toy aisles. They might be over in that section instead of in the action figure section.
They usually have them in the same section as the rest of the Star Wars, though.
I think it would be perfect time for them to do like a center display with a Easter setup, you know, and put all the toys in that.
Right.
They did that a couple of years ago. They seem to sell a lot of figures.
So they also, we'll skip around here a little bit. They also announced at the same conference, Toy Fair, a new line of Black Series mini helmets. The first two are going to be the Mandalorian and a Stormtrooper helmet. They're going to be available for pre-order at the, during the Walmart Collector Con, which is coming up on March 13th. And those are going to be $34.97 each. So not quite a one-to-one helmet that's in the Black Series. I would guess probably about half the size. Not for $35, I would hope they're kind of big. I don't know. Maybe like cat and dog size.
Maybe.
I mean, I saw pictures of them, but they didn't have anything to reference, you know, what size.
No banana for scale.
Yeah, yeah. So that's something, a new addition to the kind of Black Series, you know, catch-all, because Black Series has both figures and role play and, you know, now mini helmets, which are neither role play or action figures. Also in the Black Series, it was announced that we're going to get the Imperial Remnant AT-AT driver, the Imperial Remnant AT-RT driver, Imperial Remnant Stormtrooper, Colonel Ward, which is the new, I'll just forget her name, the actress.
Sigourney Weaver?
Sigourney Weaver, yes. So she's going to appear first in the Black Series because Colonel Ward, she's in an X-Wing outfit, I think. And there's going to be a deluxe Mandalorian and Grogu and a Target-exclusive Imperial Remnant Stormtrooper, which I guess will be different from the first Imperial Remnant Stormtrooper somehow.
Got to use those molds.
Yep, yep.
Yep.
Everything, all of that is, of course, for the Mandalorian and Grogu movie release. Okay. Carl, why don't you give us some information about the new Vintage Collection stuff?
So we're getting an O-Ray with Genosian Picador, which is that little scene from the arena when they had the big fight with the Jedis and stuff like that. Probably the only good scene in Attack of the Clones.
Mm.
Except when Christopher Lee was on screen, though. I forgot about that.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. We're getting a Vintage Collection Marok, which, is that an Amazon exclusive? I didn't even realize that.
No, I just forgot to delete the word Amazon.
Oh, okay.
It's available on Amazon.
Yeah. All right. Vintage Collection Imperial Remnant AT AT-AT driver and a Vintage Collection IG-11, the Navarov Marshall version. And we're getting an Imperial Remnant Snowtrooper, which I think looks really cool from the pictures I've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting an 11th Brother, and we're getting a Remnant AT-R2-TRT with Remnant AT-RT driver, which is a lot to say.
Mm-hmm.
And DLX Mandalorian and Grogu, which is basically one of those deluxe packs where they're jumping up the price on you and just giving you a Mando and a Grogu figure for the 25th time. And we're getting an Imperial Remnant Stormtrooper 4-pack.
Yeah, very cool. Army builders.
Yeah, yep. I think I've seen a lot of people excited about that online.
All right, now we got Retro Collection. They finally revealed the last two, Captain Antilles and Wedge Antilles.
No relation.
Right. It rounds out the 6-pack that's coming out who knows when.
And it's going to be a Target pre-order at some point.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Another debacle waiting to happen.
We're finally getting a Target in Frankfurt.
Oh, cool.
You didn't have one already?
No. Hmm. I had to go to Lexington or Louisville.
I wish we'd get one in Asheville.
We got to go to Huntington.
Yeah. You know,
so we got to drive 40 minutes to go to a Target.
Yeah, I did too, but I didn't have to leave the state like you.
All right. So we have also Droid Factory. The new Droid Factory droid is coming this Friday. It is QTK2. Is that right? Yeah.
KT.
KT.
QTKT.
QTKT. There you go.
Yeah.
So that'll be number 3 in the 6. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So
the initial run is 6. I wouldn't be surprised if this continues.
Oh, yeah. I think
they will, too. They keep selling out of every one they release so far on Disney Shop. Yeah.
I get on there like it's early in the morning when I get up as soon as they're available.
Yeah.
And there's a BDX droid 4-pack, red, blue, green, and orange. I haven't seen that one. What is that?
Those are the walking droids that they're currently have walking around Disneyland. They're about 2.5 feet tall on two legs.
Yeah.
And they walk around.
Okay.
And so they're making action figures of the droids that are actually walking through the park.
Oh, nice.
Right. And it's, according to Yak Face, it is a 3.75-inch scale.
Yeah.
So
the package.
A smallish package.
Any idea when they're going to come out?
No, but I think it's first quarter, so it should be soon.
Okay.
Also, Brian, I don't know if you noticed, they have announced, I put it on there, they've announced the April and May droids for the Build-A-Droid.
Oh, DDBD and R46DO.
Yeah.
So one of the pictures I've seen is for a droid body they haven't built before, but you've seen it on packaging.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
in Solo, when the Solo toys came out, they had those cardboard playsets you could build.
Right.
And one of them had a picture of this droid type standing there with the other action figures, but they never released anything
from Hasbro. Okay.
Disney is going to make it. It's a cylindrical body without legs.
Right. That's the DDBD droid.
Yeah.
DDBD. No numbers in there. It's kind of reminded me of an R1 type droid. You know, the big, like you said, cylindrical, tallish.
Yeah. Yeah. It's droid. Just not as tall as the R1s.
Right.
But yeah. It sounds like the droid from Buck Rogers. DDBD.
DDBD.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm excited with QTKT because she was one of them that's shown up in a couple of different places in universe,
mm-hmm.
kind of based on the R2KT that was the pink astromech. And what? I think she was in the D-Squad comic series.
I've got a comic book with her on that droid on the cover.
Yeah, she was in the D-Squad series.
The only other time I can remember a pink astromech was in that six-pack from Entertainment Earth. That was in the box of a droid.
There was another one they did for the Make-A-Wish Foundation that was R2KT. Yeah. Because the original astromech. Yeah, but that was the original pink astromech that was built full-size to go mm-hmm. to children's hospitals. And now they have a fleet of those all over the world that the R2 builders have built that basically stay at children's hospitals almost all the time.
All right, so now we'll move on to Sideshow. Hot Toys new Han Solo 1/4 scale. And then there's also a Han Solo Sorry About the Mess premium format mixed media figure. Any idea what that is?
Sort of a diorama-looking deal where it's got him... He's. I don't know if the figure is removable from the actual set, but that may be why they're calling it mixed media, because basically it's him sitting on the cantina booth and comes with the table. He's got like his feet are up on the table. He's leaning back. So, you know, he's wondering once he blasts Greedo, he's sorry about the mess. But it's that scene from Star Wars. Guessing that the figure comes, or is maybe a 1/6 scale figure. I don't know. They didn't really tell the scale. It mentioned some measurements on there of how big it was, the whole set. I don't know. Something new that Sideshow's doing.
Yeah, okay.
Sort of a diorama setting. They saw how many suckers bought the Cantina set. So from map,
so. Yeah, you're one of them.
Yeah.
All right, Regal Robot has a Walrus Man 1-to-1. I'm guessing that means that's
scale. Bust. Yeah.
Yeah, it just says BUS. So I'm guessing that's bust.
It is a bust.
Okay.
They've got two different versions of it.
Oh, okay.
One is just a head and one is a bust with shoulders.
Oh, okay.
So if you want something really, really ugly to put on your shelf and take up a lot of space.
Yeah.
All right. I've never heard of... is it Jada or Jada Toys?
I think it's Jada Toys.
Okay.
They've been showing up lately in my feed for a series of Star Wars cars, and they're saying they're new, but for a few months now, I've already had the R2 versions. They're doing die-cast cars, and I'm looking here to see what scale they are. One of them is a 1/32 scale, so it's about 4.5 inches long for a Volkswagen Beetle, decorated as R2-D2. Another one I have is 1/24th scale. It's a Volkswagen Beetle decorated as R2-D2 that comes with a die-cast figure. And then they, Giada Toys is also making some remote control cars at a low price point. They're small, you know, well, probably about 6 inches, 7 inches long plastic. And I have the Volkswagen Beetle decorated as R2-D2. But they just announced several more. And so they've got a, I'm trying to think, a Ford GT that they've decorated as, I don't know, is that Boba Fett? And they've got a Darth Vader car. And so, yeah, they're a Stormtrooper car that's a Hellcat. And they're also selling die-cast figures.
Okay.
So check out Giada Toys and see what they're doing to mess with our collection world, because you know, how many scales of a Volkswagen Beetle do I need in an R2 room? So well, far the answer is 3.
I was going to say, as long as they keep making them.
So far the answer is 3.
It would be 3 or more.
1-to-1 scale you'll be buying before too long.
No. I'd have to clear out the garage.
Go through Lexington and see a R2 Beetle parked outside the architect office. That, you know who's who's that is. That's spelled J A D A, by the way, for that is out there.
Yeah, it's Jada, Jada.
I pronounced it Jada in my head.
That might be right.
I have no idea.
Because isn't that like one of Will Smith's kids? His name Jada.
His wife's name's Jada Pickett.
Oh yeah. Maybe it's our toy company. You never know.
I'm not going to say anything about that. I might get slapped.
Yeah. No, he's not here right now.
Okay.
All right. So now that leads us to our general discussion, which is all about focus collecting. And that's the real big reason why we got Craig on here, is so that he could talk about his collection. I'm going to let him talk, you know, introduce what it is on his focus collecting. So take it away, Craig.
So there comes a time in collecting when you realize you have several restraints. Usually that's right off the bat if you're an adult. When you're a kid, you want it all. And that's how it started for me. Mom brought home 2 action figures from JCPenney's, and I flipped them over and saw there were 12 on the card and said, I got to have them all. And I kept that going for a long time. But by the time I got off on my own and I realized there were restraints on funding and space. So when you reach that realization, you try and come up with a focus for your collection is one way to do it. And my focus became collecting R2-D2.
Why R2?
Favorite character since I saw the original movie in 1977.
Okay.
I related to the figure that was, you know, the character that was closest to my size when I was 6, and the humor involved, and even without being able to communicate with words that everyone understood, he communicated well by himself. And he seemed to have just a lot of moral compass compared to some of the other characters. He was always trying to do what seemed to be the right thing and get it done. He wasn't the rogue like Han Solo, who I couldn't connect with when I was 7. and he definitely wasn't Darth Vader. So that got me started. One of the oldest pieces in my collection is it's a wooden board that I chiseled R2-D2 in, wood burned, and painted him in Cub Scouts.
Nice.
And that's in my R2 collection room, not here where I am right now. And so I decided if I was going to focus and just buy one character, he would be my go-to. The difficulty with that is R2 is on everything.
Yeah.
You can't be a completist if you're an R2 collector. Our friend Mark Schnack is an Admiral Akbar collector. It's a lot easier to try and be a completist with Admiral Akbar.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Erickson collects Stormtroopers. You can't be a completist with Stormtroopers any more than you can be a completist with R2. But it's great the rabbit holes that it takes you down, because you'll find that there's a candy bar wrapper from Japan, but then there are 4 variants. Nice. I have an R2 candy bar from Russia with a different graphic on it. The food premiums worldwide They just keep showing up. There are some new Kinder eggs in Europe right now that are Star Wars themed, and there aren't any R2s in the regular size Kinder eggs, but in the jumbo eggs that are about 5 or 6 inches tall, there's an R2. And they're blind packed inside the chocolate egg.
You got somebody to get you one?
So I had a buddy over there buy four and open them to see what he got for me. And the first one he opened was R2. The next three were all Darth Vader.
Oh, my goodness.
So I'll be getting a package in the mail with an R2 and some Darth Vaders, but that's okay. We've got friends in our club who are Darth Vader focus collectors.
Yeah.
And for this guy in England, I'm ordering all the Build-A-Droids from Disney because they're in even shorter supply on the UK Disney site than they are here.
Mm.
So I'm getting them for him, and then I'll send them when I've got the full set. So it's great because you connect with people around the world. I've got a guy that I buy stuff from in Indonesia and just folks all over the U.S. I've connected with Sean Fuller, who runs All Things R2, which is a website and Facebook page. I've worked Star Wars Celebration in Chicago and Anaheim, worked that table as well as our Kentucky Star Wars Collectors Club table. Sean and I have become good friends through the years from that, and we're always looking out for odd things for each other. People know I collect R2, so they'll find an R2 and they'll send me a picture and say, hey, do you have this yet? And if my answer is no, they'll grab it for me. It's crazy the things that you find. There was a figure maker kit back in, I want to say, episode 1 era. And it's clay and little molds you would have.
Play-Doh.
Like Play-Doh, but this is the self-drying clay. Mm-hmm. And it comes with markers to color the figures. And it's got an R2, an R5, and a C-3PO in this little kit. Well, this is an odd thing, but it's not an expensive thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things I love. I can find R2 stuff. I probably have more $1 and $2 items in my collection than I should, and not enough of the really nice high-dollar items. So I have tons of cheap junk, but a lot of it's cheap junk from around the world that's really hard to find here.
Yeah, I've actually found a weird one that I messaged you about. I think you said you had this. The USB R2-D2?
Yes, yes. And so then there are also exclusives. I mean, the regular R2-D2 action figure. In the original, in the vintage collection, there was a solid dome in the Star Wars line. Empire Strikes Back, they did the sensor scope that came out of the head. Then they did the pop-up saber, which is really expensive if you try and find one now.
Mm-hmm.
But then they had the droids version with a pop-up saber.
Yep.
And then there are like the glass leet version that's from Argentina. Is that where they made the glass leet? And it's hard to find.
That's
and
Brazil. It's not, isn't it?
Brazil. You're right. Yeah. It's Brazil. So, you know, trying to track those down. If you're looking for the Italian carded versions of figures or any of those, I can't track down all of those. That's something that some people do for their R2 focus collection if they're going to focus on just vintage. But, you know, I grabbed the Starspeeder from Disney World because it has an exclusive R2 in the pack. Well, that's not the only reason. But that was my excuse because I could say it was for my focus collection. With a focus collection, you don't have to only buy that, but it does help you restrict and say no, which is important. And my wife appreciates that I'm not trying to cram it all in the house.
Yeah, so, I totally understand that.
Little things.
So do you have like the jumbo versions of the Gentle Giant ones? Do you have those R2s?
I have the 3 Gentle Giant 12-inch scale figures.
Okay.
I also have, you know, my vintage 12-inch R2 from Kenner, the 12-inch remote control R2,
mm-hmm.
A remote control cobot, which was the Coca-Cola version of R2 that was done for Coca-Cola promotions.
Huh.
And I have the Lily Letty 12-inch version of R2.
Okay.
Which that looks like the original 3 3/4 figure blown up to the size of the 12-inch figures.
Yeah, they basically just took that 3 3/4-inch figure and, like you said, blew it up.
it looks a lot like the Gentle Giant ones.
Yeah. Okay.
In that respect.
So, and of course, you probably have the, I'm sure, I think you've actually showed it to some of us, the Build a Droid, the Droid Factory original.
Yes.
Three-legged, yes. R2.
Yes, I've got that one. And trying to think what, I also have a Poppy, which is the Japanese version. Those came boxed instead of carded.
Mm-hmm.
And the photo on that box is really funny because it's the backside of R2 with the head turned around looking at you, but it's the back sticker. Why Kim Simmons photographed it that way, I don't know if he did or somebody else in the group, but I've laughed at it again and again.
Yeah.
What about the Takara one?
There are several Takaras.
Okay.
So there's the 3 3/4 scale wind-up. I know Dwayne has one of those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was George Lucas's favorite Star Wars toy. Those weren't available in the U.S., but they were available in Canada as well as Japan. So George would give those out to people. I was able to get one of those from Japan. But they also have Takaras of different scale, and one of them has rocket launchers.
Oh, nice.
Actually, I think two of them, and another one has a disc launcher.
That was the one I was thinking of. They're die-cast, aren't they?
Yes.
The large ones?
Yes, they are. And one of them I have is a remote control, and it's a combination of plastic and die-cast. The Japanese toys are, there are a lot of R2 things that come from Japan. He's popular over there.
Japan is robot crazy. Find,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
They are. And so you find a lot of oddities in Japan. I have a couple of Detolf cases like this that are full of just Japanese R2s.
Oh, wow.
Several years ago, Dustin Roberts, who ran R2D2Central.com, he was a big R2 collector, and he decided to downsize his collection. So I started buying things from him at our swap meets. And at one of them in Ashland, Dustin drove down, and he set up a table, and I borrowed a shopping cart from somebody to haul all the stuff out that I bought from him. And then he showed up in one of our swap meets in Frankfurt, and I bought more stuff from him. Then a few years later, he called me and said, "Craig, when are you going to come clean me out?" So I drove up to his place in Cincinnati, and 12 of those big plastic totes plus dozens of framed artworks came home with me.
Oh, wow.
It was at a point where I'd been saving up my money for a big purchase, and that became my big purchase. And then a couple of years later, he called back and said, "I've got some prototypes that I wasn't ready to get rid of before. Are you interested?" So I went up and I bought some first shots, and they're modern line first shots, but I already had a prototype Power of the Force card that I got from it. And now I got a prototype of the Power of the Force R2 figure, the first one that they did in the modern line. But they also did that chromed figure. Remember the silver chrome?
Yeah.
Full Toys R Us, I think it was.
Yeah. I have a prototype of that I bought from that's in a black chrome.
Oh, nice.
Wow, that's neat.
It's just really unique. So that was good. And then they had those palm talkers. They were super deformed figures, and you'd put them in your hand, and when you touch the two metal pieces on the bottom, your body would form the connection for the circuit, and they would talk, and they had a sound chip in them. And so I got an R2 prototype of that. So it's all white, unpainted, and it doesn't have the R2-D2 sound chip in it yet. It has the Pikachu sound chip in it because that's what they had when they threw it together. So if you put it in your hand, it says Pika Pika, and a red light flashes inside of it.
Nice.
Yeah, a variety.
I got a few questions here.
Okay.
About, approximately how many R2 collectibles do you have?
Well, I am in my vintage collection room now, not my R2 room, and I have 200 different R2 items in this room.
Oh, wow.
So I think you'd be surprised how many R2 items you have in your collection.
Oh, I wouldn't be
surprised. Without it being a focus,
yeah,
he is with everything. I think there have been about 30 different action figures in the modern line.
You can see in the picture right here, in the video right here, I'm pointing to this box that looks like R2, and that's from the Star Wars Unlimited game. It was an exclusive set that it was only available at conventions.
Yes, I don't have that.
I have an extra.
That's great. I'm also perfectly happy that you have it, even if I don't.
Yeah.
But if you have an extra, I'd be interested.
Okay.
I mean, R2 shows up on everything. Cereal boxes, soda cans, soup, candy.
Famous Monsters magazine. He was on the cover of it. You have that?
I think I do.
That's one of my favorite things I have. It's like Star Wars on Famous Monsters.
So what would you say? 3,000 items? 4,000? I mean...
Probably about four. There are probably at least 2,000 on display in that room that are R2-D2. But I don't know that I've kept track of... In the modern, I ended up with a lot of carded variants. Mostly I'm an open collector, but on some of the R2 things, I've kept them carded, and I've ended up with a lot of variants on carded versions, foreign versions and everything. Mm-hmm. And then there's all the paper stuff. All the paper stuff. Yeah. The Christmas cards and the birthday invitations, bookmarks. R2's on everything.
Oh, yeah.
So I just have drawers full of that kind of stuff. And then there's trading cards. I recently ordered a trading card that was from Episode One era that is glow in the dark.
Okay.
It was not Tops. It was another line of cards, another licensed manufacturer. I think they were based in Australia, and they had a variant card that would show up, and it's an outline of a figure, and it glows in the dark. And so I grabbed that. So I'm sure there are thousands. Yes.
Okay. What is your favorite R2 item you have?
My favorite R2 item is probably the wooden one that I chiseled and wood burned and painted back in childhood.
That's cool.
But I also have a photo of something I don't have anymore, but I just have the photograph. And that was my Halloween costume.
Okay.
My dad was an HVAC man, heating and air, and he took me into their duct work shop, their sheet metal shop, and built me an R2-D2 costume out of fiber duct board. And this was October of 77. I was in a three-dimensional R2-D2 costume going trick-or-treating.
Wow.
And that is... That photo and that memory of doing that with my dad are really high in my collection love.
Okay, that's nice. What was the hardest R2 item to obtain?
That's really weird because there are things I've chased and I still don't have. You know, I wasn't able to get one of those Home Depot R2s. They were selling out faster. Yeah, I never got
one. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. But I figured they'll be out again. I'll get one eventually. And some of the really rare things I've just happened upon. But sometimes it's just that opportunity. There were things I didn't even dream that I would get that came up. And one of those is the 1977 Lionel Train Christmas gift car. Are you familiar with that?
Uh-uh.
So Lionel Trains was owned by General Mills, who also owned Kenner.
So they had
the Star Wars license. And they did a run of Christmas cars, Christmas gift train cars, and they do them every year, and they just send one to each distributor as a Christmas gift. They're not made to sell to the general public. In 1977, they did a box car that has printed on it several toys, and one of them is R2-D2.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a rarity. I didn't know if I would ever buy one because with the internet, you can find anything now.
Yeah.
But they're pricey, and I didn't know if I would find one that was worth the price to add to my collection. And I found one. A guy posted it on Deal or No Deal, and he also had it on eBay, so I knew what he was asking for it. So I PM'd him an offer, and I said, but that has to include shipping. And he said, where do you live? I said, Frankfurt. He said, I'm in Louisville. So
how's this guy not part of the group?
he collects a lot of the multi-pack vintage figures. So the three-pack vintage figures.
Okay.
And things like that.
So, two packs?
Yep. Two packs and three packs and those oddities. So I drove to Shelbyville and met him at a truck stop, and he passed out his car window to me, and I passed him the money, and it's unopened in the box with the clear cellophane panel in front of it, but it also has the shipping box that it came in.
Okay. Nice.
And it has the letter that came with it to that distributor in Ohio, in Cleveland.
Did this guy tell you how he got it?
No.
Oh, okay.
I didn't get down that far into the weeds because he has a lot of high-end collectibles. But everybody else I know who has one of these train cars doesn't have a shipping box. And when I showed the letter on one of the Facebook pages, everybody wanted a high-quality scan of it because they were just they'd never seen one.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of those. It would have been impossible to find that if I went looking for it.
Right.
But, you know, I could have found a train car, you know, but I couldn't have found this package of stuff if I'd held out looking for one.
Yeah.
It just, that made it worth going ahead and buying one for me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay. That very well could be a one-of-one, you know, package deal there.
It may be.
Do you have an item that is like your, you know, holy grail trying to find, and you haven't got one yet?
You know, there are just so many R2s out there. You know, I could never afford a screen-used full-size R2. You know, but sometimes they hit the prop stores, you know. There are several things on my want list, but I try not to have grails anymore. I try and set myself reasonable limits.
How about just something that you are able to obtain that you just haven't found or found the right one?
Yeah, well, I would pick up the R2 from Home Depot, the Christmas one, in a heartbeat if I found it for a reasonable price. I'm not going to pay three times markup, which is what they show up on Facebook Marketplace for.
Yeah.
I would absolutely love to have a full size of the Cobot. The Coca-Cola robots that were used for promotional purposes were built in the model shop. And there's actually an episode of Mr. Rogers where he goes to the shop where they're building these droids.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
So the Cobots have, you know, made it out into the world because they're no longer used by Coca-Cola, but they're really expensive and really hard to find. And some of them have 8-track players inside of them, so you could play the promotional music and conversations while you're running it around for remote control.
Yeah.
I just think those things are the coolest in the world. There is one at Jungle Gyms in Cincinnati up on a shelf in their soda display area.
Hmm.
But they're like really hard to find. The legs are a clear plastic. The body is a Coca-Cola can. And the dome is a clear dome with a silver ring around it. And it lights up inside. And on one section, it's a red panel that says smile. Because that was back in the Coke and a Smile days.
Coke and a Smile.
Oh, okay.
And so I have a remote control one that's in the scale of the 12-inch action figures. But those full-size ones are epic.
Yeah.
Hmm. Do you ever try to buy stuff outside of the U.S.? Or is that just something, if it comes available and it's cheap, I might get it?
Oh, I buy stuff outside the U.S., yes. Sometimes I buy stuff when I'm outside the U.S.
Okay.
I picked up an odd keychain when I was in Greece. I picked up some items we probably shouldn't talk about when I was in Amsterdam. But they're R2-D2. They're hand-painted R2-D2s.
And you're allowed to bring that stuff home? Hey. Does it have to be empty?
This is empty. This is...
Oh, okay.
It's not a pipe. That was found in the United States. No, it's...
Any chance R2-D2s on everything. We'll just leave it
yes,
at that.
Yes. Let's just say this one would keep you safe, hand-painted. But there are all sorts of things that I've found around the world. I've recently got another stack of a lot of paper things from Japan. There were packages for all sorts of foods. I get
these from friends that are looking out for this stuff for you?
Yes, from friends, also from shops. Do you know Billy Galaxy?
Yep.
He's got a shop out in Portland, Oregon. I've never been to his shop, but my son has. Billy sets up booths at celebrations. And up in Chicago, I went in his booth, and he had a puzzle from 1977, 78. And it looked like the photo that was on the original Topps card. Blue surround, and then the photo of R2 in Beggar's Canyon. But the logo on the top of it is Levi's Youth Wear in Italian.
Okay.
This was a promotional puzzle you could only get with Levi's in Italy.
Wow.
And it's still wrapped in the clear plastic, unopened. And
that's hard to believe.
Nobody's been able to track down where this licensing came together. But I know of three people who own these. And we all got them from Billy because he found a case of them in Italy. I chase down stuff. I have friends around the world. I have friends who travel.
Okay.
So it works.
I have one more question myself.
All right.
And that's, did you get to meet Kenny Baker?
I did not.
Oh, that stinks.
I have several things autographed by Kenny. I have action figures of Kenny. But I never met him in person. I met a few Star Wars actors, from the vintage era along the way. More than a few. I'm not a person who collects autographs. So in general, I don't pay to stand in line and get someone's autograph.
I hear you.
on occasion I do, but I went to a comic shop in Lexington and met Peter Mayhew and Jeremy Bullock when they were charging $8 each for their autograph.
Is that when they did their masks tour?
No, it was before that.
Before that even. Okay.
It was $8 to get their autograph. It was the two of them in a small comic shop in Lexington. There was no line. Nobody was waiting to see them. Nobody knew they were there. And I didn't have enough money to get both of their autographs because I was young and broke. I've been collecting since I was 7, but there was a dark time in there.
Oh, yeah.
You guys know there was a dead period.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. When there was nothing. Well, the good side and the bad side of that is that's when I was in college. I had no expendable income in college. And I met my wife when I was in college, so she didn't know how addicted I was to Star Wars. Luckily, she's very forgiving.
Obviously, she's still with you.
Yes, 32 years in, she refers to CaseWalk as my support group.
Whatever it takes.
As long as I'm not, spending more than is reasonable on that, and I'm staying within our family budget, all is well. But I've seen people go over the edge. I know people whose families are on WIC, and they are buying collectibles instead of food.
Yeah, see,
and it's an addiction.
I totally know this because when I got... was it 2001? I got laid off, and I had a house. I was living by myself, so I had a house with a house payment and all the other stuff that goes with it. And I sold off a bunch of figures just so I could make my house payment and eat. I wasn't about to buy, collectibles and starve to death.
Yeah, and it's okay to take joy in collecting within your budget, and it's okay to splurge a little bit now and then. But you can't be stockpiling tons of stuff in your house if you can't afford to pay your bills. It's not worth going bankrupt on.
Oh no.
But luckily I was able to stay within my budget for enough years that now I have a collecting budget.
Yeah.
That's the thing to have. And you should always have a zero balance in that collecting budget.
Yeah.
Well, I'm saving money because I know I'm going to Rogue Fun. And I know there'll be some stuff for sale there. And I keep going to Disney. And I got to have money when I go to Disney to buy all the cool things that Cody and his team are putting out.
Yep.
And so that's always a plus.
All right, Carl, Dwayne, do you guys have any questions?
I have one. You took a couple of mine, so I'll just have. When you said you decided that one day you're just going to, R2 is going to be your focus. Do you remember what year approximately that was when you decided that you was like, okay, I need to focus on R2. I'm going to have to be more selective in what I buy, or when did that hit you?
I honestly can't tell you when, Carl, but it's after I met you. I'm sitting here in a room full of my vintage toys, and I earlier my step was, okay, I'm just going to collect Star Wars, and I sold off all of my Megos, you know, superheroes and all my Bionic Man stuff when the Earth was still open in Cincinnati. Took them all my Tonka trucks, and I traded in for Star Wars things that I didn't have in my childhood collection. Yeah. You know, I still trying to make sure I get one of each of the basic things in the Kenner line, except droids and Ewoks, because heaven help us all, those prices are ridiculous.
Me and Dwayne have all of them,
and if they're not, and the show is not very good either.
Oh, I know, but the theme song for droids.
Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. That is good.
Well, yeah, and that's if you can find the original record on that. I think it's. Oof. Only in French. It's got droids on one side, Ewoks on the other. Huh. Yeah, that you'll pay for that one. But yeah, I'm still working through some of those, but I've gotten through most of the Kenner stuff. I'm trying to think when that would have been, Carl. Probably at least 10 or 15 years ago. Yeah. 10 years maybe. And then the other big thing was COVID. COVID hit about the time that my kids were moving out, going to college. And so this room that I'm sitting in was my oldest son's room. And at that point, I decided I was going to get my collection out of storage. I had little bits of it displayed, but I bought a dozen Detolf cases. And I couldn't go anywhere or do anything. I was working 70 hours a week. And when I would come home, you know, my way of relaxing was getting things out of storage and setting them up on shelves. When I got this room set up, then I ordered another dozen because they were on back order, and I did the R2 room.
Nice.
And that there's a big difference between hoarding and collecting.
Yeah.
And displaying is part of that difference.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dwayne, do you have any questions?
You mentioned earlier that you were hooked on collecting, or hooked on Star Wars action figures when your dad brought home the first two. Was R2 one of those two?
No, R2 was not one of those two that my mom brought home. JCPenney's back home was where I got it in Illinois. And mom brought home, and I wish I could even tell you who they were, but I turned over and saw in the back that they had R2 and said, I need that one next.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that would have been my priority in 1977, but mom went grocery shopping without me. And yes, there were groceries at JCPenney's in Illinois then. And so the next round, my second round of figures, so my third figure I got was R2-D2. And yes, I still have that R2.
You still
it's
have
in
that
a,
one?
It's in a baseball bat case at my office.
Okay.
Hanging next to my desk.
I'm sure the sticker is pretty tabby.
Actually, it's in better shape than some of my later ones.
Oh, okay.
I was the kid who stored the toys in the boxes and stacked up the boxes when I wasn't playing with them. I was a little bit type A. So I have the boxes for most of my vintage Star Wars toys, not for the land speeder, but for most of the rest of it. And so I took care of my toys. I only played with Star Wars toys inside. I played other things outside. Yeah. You know, but Star Wars, they stayed at home in the house, and mom made me pick up my toys every night. So that just meant I'd put the figures in a case and stack up the boxes of ships and
sure
work through it.
Oh, okay. That's nice. Well, I don't think anybody got anything else.
I can't think of anything else.
No. He's overfilled us with information and stories.
Well, thank you, Craig, for coming on. Yep.
Yes. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, it was really fun. Thank you.
Let's see. Carl, you want to read us out?
I want to make mention of our Patreon again and thank all of our Patreon members that are helping us out with the podcast. We really appreciate it. And you get to see this video today if you're a certain level on the Patreon. And it is at, if you're not a Patreon member and you'd like to sign up, you can do that at patreon.com/the Star Wars Collector. And you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/the Star Wars Collector podcast. And we also have a Facebook group. You can check us out as well. If you haven't done so, you can leave us an iTunes review and other places you listen that may have a review option. If you need to email us, like send us some Ask Bo questions or have a question about today's episode or something, you can send that to tswcpodcast@gmail.com. And you can find us on X at tswcpodcast as well as Blue Sky. And this month's Facebook shout out goes to Clifton Boggs. Thanks for listening.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. And thanks again to Craig for coming. And we'll talk to you next month.
Bye, everybody.
So long, everybody.